Oh, good morning. Just so you don't, so you know, my name's Alan, and I'm married to Eleanor, who I think's been here the last 2 weeks, hasn't she? I was going to say, are you sick of her yet? But they don't respond. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. So well, Mr. Eleanor, yeah. I'm just relax while I just finish my nice hot chocolate here, if that's all right. Are you doing well?
Yeah.
You looking good? Hey, thank you. Thank you very much for looking after Will and Nicole. Because they're going through a bit of a big season, really. I reckon on the stress levels of what causes the most stress in our lives, number one is losing a spouse, then it's losing a loved one, and then it's shifting. And they're doing both of those, well, two out of those, you know, which is just, it's huge. So thank you for all the support, and keep them in your prayers, keep praying for them, and keep loving them. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to start without finishing off my drink, isn't it? It's going to go cold. Well, I just told people's concentration span is 12 minutes, so I'll go for 12 minutes and then I'll have another drink. And then I'll give you another 12 and another 12 and another 12 and another 12. No, we won't go that fast. Okay, hey, so the title of my message is, let's just get this right, is You Can Change the World. God wants you to change the world. God wants you to change the world. So here's my two things that I want. You know, you have an objective when you're preaching, okay? So keep this in mind. The first objective is I want you to be inspired to see that you personally can change the world. Not the person next to you, even though they can change the world, that you will change the world. And then I just want to, if I get time, I want to just raise awareness around the spiritual that's happening around us. And so, first of all, let's read Matthew 6, 33. Does anybody know what this is off by heart? Matthew 6, 33 was my favorite scripture. I think it was my mother's favorite scripture, so it was my favorite scripture. And when I married Eleanor, I found out it was her favorite scripture. So I don't know what that means. We've got the same favorite scripture. Here we go. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. So if you've got your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Mark 4. I haven't got it on the screen. I just thought today we'd just do it different. So just let everybody relax and let Barry just sort of sit there so he doesn't have to do anything. But if you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew 4. Can I encourage you? No, I won't say that. Okay, here we go. So Matthew 4, just Mark 4, sorry. Did I say Matthew? I've changed to Mark. Did I say Mark? I think I need to drink my drink, don't I? Going too fast. Okay, so Mark 4, context. Just so you got the context. First of all, in Mark 4, it talks about the parable of the farmer scattering seed. Okay, seed falls on the footpath. Some seed falls on the footpath, which the devil, Satan, steals. So the kingdom of darkness takes away that seed. Some seed falls on rocky soil, and it doesn't get any roots. Some seed among thorns, and the world chokes it out. And some on good soil. Okay, and then it has to produce fruit. And then the next parable is about a lamp. And now I want to start with 4:26, which is the parable of the growing seed. So let me read it to you. So Mark 4, verse 26 says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Verse 30, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds can come and nest in its shade. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence that's in this place. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me to share what you have. But Lord, I pray for each individual here that you would speak to them, that they would hear from you. They wouldn't hear from me, but Lord, they would have revelation from you that applies to them. Lord, help us. Lord, we do want to change the world. Lord, we know the world does need changing. So Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just to teach a little bit of what is the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? So the kingdom of God encompasses the reign, the rule, and the realm of God in our hearts, or the hearts of individuals, in the community, and is the ultimate fulfillment of God's purpose for the world. The kingdom of God. So it starts off as it's God is our sovereign, which I am his sovereign rule. And I don't know whether we quite understand this too well because, you know, when we think of kings, we think about King Charles, and really he doesn't rule a thing, does he? Does he in our world? Sorry if you're a royalist. Sorry. But the concept here is that God is the king. It's a moving of kingdoms. It's a spiritual realm where God's will is done. When you and I got saved, we left our own life, running our own life, in the kingdom of darkness, and we moved kingdoms. And we came into the kingdom of light where God is in charge. God's the boss. We gave up all our own freedom to do what we wanted to do and saying, God, you are my sovereign, you are my king. And it starts with me in my heart. Psalm 103:19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and the kingdom rules over all. Or Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done. We want the kingdom of God. Okay, second thing is it's about present and future dimensions. The kingdom has a presence now, but it's a growing kingdom. And in some ways, we have everything in the kingdom now, but there is still more, in a sense, for it. The kingdom's about transformation. It's a kingdom where I go, God is going to transform me. He wants to change me. He wants to change us. It's about being transformed, personal transformation in the lives of all believers. Through repentance, faith in Jesus, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, individuals are born again, so they change, and they come into a relationship with God, they experience freedom, forgiveness, reconciliation, and they join as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, same thing. Sometimes he uses the kingdom of heaven, sometimes he uses the kingdom of God. Four, it's the community of believers. The community of believers. It's the kingdom. You know, I think for me, even in my studying and realization of this, I come to the conclusion that I'm actually more passionate about the kingdom of God than I am about our church. Because our church is only a small segment. The kingdom of God is everybody that's come and said that God is their ruler. And they're in his thing. And it's a growing kingdom. The kingdom of God is also about social justice and restoration. The kingdom of God carries hope of social justice and restoration. That's what the kingdom of God does. It addresses issues like injustice, oppression, poverty, the brokenness of society, working to establish righteousness, peace, and compassion. And it's an eternal hope. We hold for a kingdom that's here, but a kingdom that's in the future, heaven. Okay. So my objective here is to inspire people to see that you have a part in changing the world by building his kingdom. How many people think the world needs changing? It does, doesn't it? Like, it's a mess. It's a mess. It's fascinating if we can understand that if we live our lives with Jesus as our ruler, we've actually changed. We've changed worlds. We've changed dominions. You know, one of the things I say all the time is I'm living the dream. And the reason is because I'm living under the kingdom of God. I'm living in the kingdom of God. I'm living it now. The problem I think we have with the thinking that, oh, it's a kingdom that's now, but it's also in the future, is that we therefore then think that everything is in the future and not now. But we've got to live in now. I've changed kingdom. I'm living the dream because I'm living in God's kingdom, where God is the ruler. In Mark 4, 31, it says, it's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest seed, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows. So here's this thing that I've picked up along the way, and it's this statement here, or this thought. Everything goes from smaller to bigger and bigger to smaller. Everything goes from smaller to bigger. So if I say I want world peace, how many people think that'd be a good place to start? World peace. We're all used to that, those beauty pageants where the girl would come out and say, what do you want with the world? World peace. Well, she didn't say it in that voice, she said it in another voice, but world peace. But if we want world peace, it starts with personal peace. So if I've got personal peace, I've got peace in my life, then I start to affect what's happening around me. So I want personal peace that may actually help me have marriage peace. It may help me to have peace at home. Now we've got family peace. If we've got family peace, then we've got friendship peace. Peace with all our friends. We've got peace in the church. In my little church thing. If I carry peace and it creates peace around me, it's affecting my marriage, my family. It then affects my business. I begin to produce peace. And then we could maybe get city peace. We've got city peace. Maybe we could help the country get New Zealand peace. And what about if New Zealand got peace? Maybe we could help the world get peace. It's contained. Everything goes from smaller to bigger. And we sit here sometimes thinking, I want world peace, but it's nothing that I've got control of. But what we do have control of is personal peace. If we let God work in ourselves, and it's the same in everything. If I want the world to be a kind place, a place with no violence, well, it all starts over here with me. And if you can see it, that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus changed the world by who he was and affected every single person he came across it. It starts with me. You imagine a world with the kingdom of God established. You think about that. If the kingdom of God was completely established throughout the whole world, what would it look like? Number one, everybody would have an amazing relationship with God to start off with. They would be hearing from God. You'd be experiencing his love, his presence. You'd be hearing from him. You'd be guided by him. You'd be in direct communion. You'd be like Adam, walking with God. And then imagine the fruit that would be produced. Love. World needs a little bit more love, doesn't it? In the kingdom of God, it'd be heaven on earth, wouldn't it? Now, our problem is that we don't actually think that that is possible. But we sing a song, we sing it today, all things are possible. And it all starts with me loving people. I can change the world. If I can be a person that has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, what will happen? It'll all start to happen automatically. So that verse that I read, it said, look, the farmer plants the seed and the seed just starts to work. He carries on doing his job and that seed is operating. And it just grows automatically. Do you know that our lives are sowing seeds everywhere we go? Everywhere you go, you're sowing seeds. Every interaction you have with people sowed seeds. Are we sowing peace? Are we sowing joy? Are we sowing love? Are we sowing? But if we are sowing something, and that begins to affect the people around us. And it just starts to work automatically. I think Jesus just got into the flow of living, guided by the Holy Spirit, and he just made a difference everywhere he went. Imagine living the dream. Marriage full of peace. Home life, just fantastic. Work life, changing everything around us. We might even be able to change Tauranga Road's problems. Oh, that would take a miracle, wouldn't it? See, Mark 4 says it all starts to happen automatically. That's the kingdom of God growing. It's you and I changing. All comes back to you and me. So about 7 weeks ago, we had Pastor Luca speak in the Tauranga location in the morning. In the morning. And in the sun, I'm just going to have a drink of my wine. So you can go see it. It's still online, I think, if you go watch the service. So in this service, Pastor Luca, who is a prophet, I think he's a prophet, or he's very prophetic, and my association with him, everything that he's prophesied and his stories are quite phenomenal. And I think everyone needs prophetic people in their life. He's my number one prophetic person in life. So he's also, if he's my one, he's one of the people that speaks prophetically into our church. Okay? So he's here on a Sunday morning, and he's preaching, but he's really struggling. If you go watch the message, he's sort of pacing up and down. He's trying to work out what it is he has to say, and he's frustrated because he felt that God hadn't really given him the word. And halfway through it, the message, he suddenly goes, I know what God's called your church to. And he went on to talk about the seven mountains. Now, to me, the seven mountains is a long way away, but he's talking about influencing in seven areas of the world. So, in our natural world, influencing family, influencing the government, influencing all these areas. And that's cool. But he started talking about this prophetically for our church. Now, look, I mean, I think I'm number seven in pastoring from there in Otomoto. The church has been going 64, 65 years. One of the pastors that was before my dad, so I took over from my dad before that, was Pastor Phil Collis, and he just went to be with the Lord a week ago, which was pretty amazing. I went and prayed for him about 12 hours before he died, and the presence of the Lord in that room was quite phenomenal. One of his daughters wasn't there when he died, but she was driving towards the house, and she could see angels as he died. Just over there in the lakes. Can anything good happen in the lakes? Well, there you go. Come back. So there's definitely been a calling on our church over the years. But in this message, he started honing in on me. So you're me. And he started going, and it all starts with you. It's all up to you. It starts with you. And I'm sitting there feeling really uncomfortable and feeling this weight come onto me. And I'm thinking, this is wrong. He should be going, and it all starts with you. could have done somebody else. Maybe he could have gone, it all starts with will. That would have been much better. All starts with, it's all right, it all starts with Gay. It's all up to Gay. I sat there feeling overwhelmed in one sense, but went away and thought, you know, that's what happens in church. If I say to you, God wants you to change the world, you don't think it's you. You think it's the person next to you. And I had to have a revelation that God is calling me to change the world. A couple of weeks later, I meet with a guy that's in our church. And he's a young guy. He's a new guy in our church. And we start talking, and he's involved in some pretty big things. He'd just done a presentation to NATO. So he's got some big stuff happening as well. And I start talking to him. I go, so as a Christian, why are you involved in all this stuff? And he then went to say, well, I'm doing this because this will affect this, and this will affect this here, and this will change this country here, and this will change, and this will change the world. In fact, it would lead to less people dying in the world. I was blown away. And I reckon it really dawned on me that the problem for most of us as Christians is we don't realize that as we get part of the kingdom, we are to change the world. But it all starts with me. It all starts with you, but not me, you. If you change, and part of the problem I think in the church general, in the kingdom, is that we don't like working on ourselves. Because we all sit here going, if everybody else changed, the world would be a better place. If we could just sort out the government, if we could just sort out the council, if you could just sort out my spouse, if you could just sort out the church, then everything would be right for me. But it doesn't work that way. It starts with you and me. I've got to change. You've got to change. And we've all got to be like Jesus. That's the whole thing. The whole thing is that you and I need to be like Jesus. Now, in saying that, the other side, so I've talked about, hey, I think you're the catalyst to change the world. And don't give me any stuff like, well, I think I'm too old, that was in, when I was younger. Because I think that's a load of rubbish. That's just another little seed sown by the enemy. One of the thoughts that I've had, and I'm trying to work out, is does, just out of curiosity, put your hand up if you think that you were spiritually attacked this week in some way. Okay. How many people would think that they weren't spiritually attacked this week? I don't know what the spirit world looks like. For me, I'm really practical, logical, like what I can touch, feel, and see. So the spiritual world is a little bit over here. It's a little bit, I'm a little bit skeptical. Is anybody else in the skeptical? I sort of go, but I do know that God is a spirit, and I do know there is a spiritual realm. I don't think I totally understand it. It's like I see bits of it, but I don't understand it. But it's real. I believe in demons. I believe in angels. I can't see them, which really annoys me. I would like to see them, and it's one of my things that I've got with God. Before I die, I want to see at least one demon and lots of angels. I think you've got to see more angels than see more demons. Because I think they're out there. Now the question is how active are they in our lives? I think they're more active, especially the demons, in our lives than we think. What do they do? I think every day you are facing spiritual attacks of the enemy. Temptation for sin. Has anybody been tempted this week to do something they shouldn't do? Don't put your hand up. Wait, just think about that. If you've been tempted, I think that's the enemy. Now, I'm trying to imagine it, but I don't know, and I don't want to end up too super spooked that everything I just blame on is spiritual. But I don't want to be naive and think that there's nothing happening. I believe in the authority of God, so I believe in the authority that we have. So I'm okay. It's not frightening. But I do think the enemy is having a go at people. So what do we have? Temptation to do wrong things, make wrong choices. The enemy every day is saying, don't change. You can't change. Keep doing nothing. Keep playing the game. Keep scrolling. Keep sitting. Don't pray. How many people find it really easy to pray? How many people find it hard to pray? You're under a spiritual attack. Whatever area you're struggling in that's not the kingdom of God, the enemy's trying to stop you. And he's a whisperer. I don't believe he can read your thoughts. So I don't think the kingdom of darkness cannot read your thoughts. God knows your thoughts, but the kingdom doesn't. But he can see things. I remember a guy named Clark Taylor talking about his experience walking along, and he saw into the spiritual. And he was walking along, and saw this little demon, just small, sitting on his shoulder, just speaking these lies into him. Speaking, you know, you're useless, you're no good, can't do this, you should do this, don't do that, do this, then. And he thought, man, and so he rebuked it. You know, resist the devil and he will flee. Go in Jesus' name. Disappear. I reckon he got around the block. It was another one. It wasn't the same one coming back. It was another one. The enemy has an assignment on you and me to stop you. And so this whole thing for us is that we've moved kingdoms. We want to live in his kingdom. Now, as we listen more and more to God's voice, we listen less and less to the enemy's voice. As we give him more and more control, the enemy has less and less control. And we change. We've got to see that we're under a spiritual attack. Here's another one. Interpersonal conflicts and division. Spiritual battles can also manifest in conflicts and divisions within relationships, families, community, or even within churches. The battle involves a spiritual force of evil that seeks to sow seeds, so the enemy's trying to sow seeds, of discord, bitterness, and division among people. The physical reality is seen in strained relationships, misunderstandings, arguments, and breakdown of unity. If you're in a conflict, there is a spiritual element to it. Now, it's both natural and physical. Natural and spiritual, physical and spiritual. If I've said something stupid, then there will be a result in the relationships that I have. But at the same time, the enemy is trying to make discord. He doesn't want unity. The whole thing in our relationships with God and our relationship with each other is about unity. God wants you to be in unity with him. God wants you to be in unity in your family. So the biggest thing the enemy goes after is disunity. And he sows it. He sows it through negative talk, through saying things. Like I would never say anything, if you want to make this a rule for your life, I try not to say anything that's against any church in the world, even if I'm a bit unsure about them. I love all the churches in Taiwan. And I've got this unique relationship with so many of these churches. Bethlehem Baptist. Great church. I used to play rugby with Craig. He's a great mate of mine. I've got to know a whole lot of people through being involved in Bethlehem College that go to Bethlehem Baptist. I love that church. That's an important church in our city. Curate. My sister and brother-in-law are on the leadership. They're trustees of that church. My sister works there. I love Joel and Katie. Why would I say anything negative about them? Did you know that I also know the Catholic priest over here. Father Richard. Did you know that I took him up into our prayer room in our church? And he was running. He said, he went in the prayer room, he went, oh, I can feel the presence of God in here. Don't usually feel it in Protestant churches. Okay, thanks. I think we've got to change. But it all starts with me. It starts with me changing what I see and me being aware that the enemy is trying to. He's trying to build the kingdom of darkness. So I'm going to do anything that builds the kingdom of heaven. And what that looks like. Anything that builds the kingdom. Anything that does good. It's as simple as anything that goes good, that's part of the kingdom of heaven. Anything that does evil, that's his kingdom. I don't want to be part of any of this. I want to be part of everything that does this. And suddenly you go, man, I've got a purpose. I've got to change the world. And what happens is if we get in unity, because once I'm in unity with God, I'll start getting unity with my wife better. And once I'm in unity with God, unity with my family. Honestly, the family's under attack. The enemy hates your family. He wants it to be broken. But God wants it to be whole. The kingdom of God is about restoration. Changing it from being broken to being whole. We're all broken. We all need God's wholeness. But as I get healed, then now I start to make a difference. And I bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Just imagine how much it is. The kingdom of heaven is not that difficult to make heaven on earth. What if everyone was kind? Everyone was kind. Be a different world. What if everybody forgave? It's a great Christian principle. Forgiveness. We wouldn't have vengeance and violence. Most of the violence and vengeance we have is because somebody's got hurt by somebody else and they want revenge. And then they don't just blame that person, they blame everybody else. Imagine if we lived in a world with no blame. Instead of blaming everybody else. That's the kingdom of heaven. I don't blame anybody for anything in this world. The only thing I blame is the devil and the kingdom of darkness. I get really concerned when people start blaming God. That's an ignorance of that there's an enemy trying to work. Anything that's bad, his. Anything that's good. Does that make sense? Now, it all starts with me coming in and going, God, you are my king, and I bring my heart into alignment with him being my king. I sit under his authority. It's yes, sir, whatever you want me to do. It's no more of my own life. That's what coming to Jesus is all about. It's changing kingdoms. I'm no longer doing what I want to do. I think there's a lot of Christians that have God as their ruler on Sundays. He's my ruler in church, because it's easy to look good in church. I'm submitted to him. On Monday, I live for myself. And we don't see that, hey, live under the kingdom all the time. All the time. Even when no one's looking. Even when you're just with God. That you're in the kingdom of God. You live for that kingdom. It's about his rulership. In my alone time. It's in my home. It's in my workplace. And everywhere I go, I carry the kingdom of God. I'm sowing seeds for the kingdom of God. And it's all happening automatically. And it starts with me. But it starts with you. And you can change the world. You can change the world. He can change the world. Through us, we can change the world. So everything I do is important. Do you know, I don't believe there's any coincidences in my life of where I meet people and who I bump into. It's all divine. Even while driving my car, because I think a lot of us think we get in our car, nobody sees who we are, so our driving doesn't matter. Well, you imagine what the world would be like if everyone was patient. Imagine driving if everyone was patient. Hey, you go first. Maybe the roads would flow better. Okay, maybe close your eyes. What do you need to bring under the Lordship of Christ? What in your life? Now, I'm into just think of one thing. We think of all the things in our lives and we just sort of think, oh, I can't do it. But what's the one thing? If the Holy Spirit has talked to you about one thing in your life where you have to give it to Him. One area where you struggle with Him being Lord in your life. Maybe it's to do with your time. Praying, reading His Word. Maybe it's to do with money. What is it that God puts His finger on? Maybe it's to do with something you're involved with, where you go, I don't need to be involved in that anymore. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to each individual here. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Thank you that you love us. I love being in your kingdom. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the next thing I want you to think of is, what is something you could do that would change someone else's world? It may be as simple as a seed of encouragement. I think encouragement's overrated. Underrated. Underrated. What is the seed that you could sow? Who could you make a difference with? Maybe with your mum. Maybe with your kids. Maybe with your spouse. Can you do that would change their world? Sow a seed. And that seed starts to get work. Now sometimes you'll sow a seed and the enemy will take it straight away. People get discouraged and they stop sowing seeds because the enemy's taken away. Or they've choked or they've not taken root. But just keep sowing. And some will find good soil and begin to grow. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for each person here. You brought them here for such a time as this. They're on earth for now to make a difference. And Lord, I pray you'd help us all to have the revelation of what you want us to do, what our part is in building your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.